it is a real world video game.
Pro tip of the day.
I think that'll be a big challenge for the land.
The most interactive part that I've seen to date.
It's such a step up for theme park lands.
Let's party. It's always a party. Let's go, Paulie.
Welcome back to the show, baby.
We're back, and we're going to talk about something that we have been excited to talk about, Paul. We are going to talk about Super Nintendo World in Universal Hollywood, Paul. You told me about this. I did research. I want to go right now. Like, let's just skip the show and go.
It's a big topic in the theme park industry.
Is it the topic?
Right now, I mean, it's been soft opening. It just launched officially grand opening, I believe, February 17th at Universal Hollywood. So if you were lucky enough to get out there as a preview or if you're a season pass member, but if not, now it's open to the general public. Very excited about that. I've never been to the West Coast, so it might be time to get over there.
Honestly, this is actually tempting me to get to the West Coast. I watched a couple vlog videos of people who were allowed in on soft openings. We both checked out the park. We both read some articles. So we're going to tell you guys at home our thoughts on it. There is a Super Nintendo World in Japan already. So we're going to tell you what's like or what's different about this park. But Paul, what's the overall scheme and kind of landscape of this park? Because it's not normal like any other Disney Magic Kingdom park.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about it. Basically, it's the newest theme park land in the industry. It's Super Nintendo World. It's basically Super Mario Brothers theme. So obviously Nintendo has a lot of different properties, but it's really focused on the world of the Mushroom Kingdom, Super Mario, those type of characters, Mario, Luigi, Peach. They're your three meet and greet characters, which we'll talk about in a little bit as well when we talk about more features of the land. But in the theme park industry, we know that the newest thing is this idea of a land that is featured around one IP.
Right.
So we've had The Wizarding World of Harry Potter. Universal did that. It was a Warner Brothers property. Did really, really well for them. Disney was like, what do we do? You know, how do we counteract that?
Right.
So then they did Star Wars Land, which was Galaxy's Edge, and they built that in Hollywood Studios in Orlando. They also built it at Disneyland in California. And then
Avatar.
You have Avatar, the World of Pandora, and Animal Kingdom. You have Toy Story Land in Hollywood Studios. And now I think this is just the newest, they had Avengers Campus even last year. So this is kind of Universal's play of their next big ticketed land to really compete with Disney and compete in the theme park space. And if you have looked at photos, videos, ride footage, anything from this land that opened in Universal Japan, I believe 2021, this is a smaller version of that land brought to Hollywood. But if you haven't checked out photos, videos, anything yet, please do yourself some justice.
Yes.
Because one, it's gorgeous. Two, it's super interactive. And we're going to be talking about all the features of this land.
Well, that's the main feature of this land. And you talk about how parks are trying to focus on specific IPs. But it seems like as new ones start to get released after another one, they're very interactive. And this Super Mario World is the most interactive part that I've seen to date. When you walk into this park, you feel as if you're in the video game. I know one of the vloggers who were there for the soft opening, you actually walk into the park in a warp tunnel, one of those warp tunnels, and you really embrace the game. You walk in. I know we're going to get to it, but the moving figures, which is what are they called, Paul? The kinetic energy figures?
Yeah, there's a lot of kinetic energy in the land. If you look at other theme park lands, right, you have Harry Potter, you have Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. That's a big complaint that a lot of people have with the Star Wars lands that Disney owns. You know, there's not that much going on in the land. There's a lot of really cool
stationary stuff.
Yeah, the scenery's great. Obviously, the rides are great and the food is great. But when you're walking in the land, you don't feel immersed because in the original concept art, there was Chewbacca walking around and a lot of droids walking around. Where this is a little different. Where when you walk in that land, Ryan said the warp pipe, right? That's how you enter into this immersive world.
Don't overlook that. Because a lot of people said you got to embrace the warp pipe to walk in because it feels like you're getting into the video game.
Well, that's what's really nice about Universal did this with a Diagon Alley when they built it in Universal Studios in Florida, where they had this grand reveal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what's really nice too. And Disney did it with Galaxy's Edge with their huge tunnels, where it's you leave the rest of the theme park, the main part of the park, and then you kind of walk through this tunnel.
Or bridge or whatever it be, and you're kind of revealed to the rest of the land like as you exit it, right? So we're going to talk about kinetic energy in a little bit, but like when you walk in that land, you're kind of in the warp pipe, you enter into Princess Peach's castle, you get to look around, and then once you exit the castle, all you got to do is look up, look around, and you have Goombas, Koopa shells, Piranha plants moving.
You got Super Mario music playing in the background.
You got coins moving around, right? Like there's all this energy. You have Yoshi. Like there's a lot of moving parts, not really animatronics, but just like moving statues really that give so much life to this land other than just the color or the music. Or like everyone's been talking about this kind of sensory overload it's having.
That's what I saw,
super bright. The music is amazing. And what's really, you know, we'll talk about music for sure, but all the different parts of the land kind of, when you're in different areas, the music will change to the iconic sounds, of the video games. So it's just
when you're in Bowser's castle, you got Bowser's music playing in the background. Yeah. So it really sets you in the mood. So we're actually going to go down all the features and the singular ride that is at the park. Now that's a lot of downside in some people's eyes is that, hey, Super Nintendo World, this is a cool place. It's only got one ride. It's more so focused on the interactive games, mini games, I guess you can say. And that only has one ride compared to Japan, where Japan has a Yoshi ride. I think they only have two rides in Japan.
So if you look at the original land, so fun fact for you, the land Super Nintendo World was actually designed to be set in Universal Studios, Florida. Right before, you know, if you go to the park, right next to kind of where the Simpsons land is, it's where, Woody Woodpecker's Kid Zone is not anymore. They're actually transforming that land, but it was originally built to take over Woody Woodpecker's Kid Zone. So it was kind of designed with the amount of space that area had. Then they brought it to Japan. Japan was kind of, you know, the place of Nintendo, the origin of it. And they have two rides. So they had, everything was in Japanese, of course, but it was basically the Mario Kart attraction and then a Yoshi dark ride. So Hollywood just doesn't have enough space. It didn't have the amount of space. So they're only getting the main attraction or the e-ticket ride, which is Mario Kart's Bowser's Challenge. And we'll also talk about another version of this land will also be coming to Orlando and Universal's newest theme park coming in 2025. And that will actually have three rides. So that has another extension. So that'll be the largest. Japan's version will be kind of the original and have two rides. And then Hollywood is kind of the downside version. But at the same time, I think, even with the amount of space they had, they truly packed everything in it. And I thought about this. I was like, oh, it's a land, but it only has one attraction. You know, if Pandora opened and it just had Flight of Passage, I would have been fine with that. Yeah. And even Diagon Alley in Universal Studios, Florida, it just has Gringotts as the attraction. It's one attraction. There's a bunch of other stuff going on. Like, you know, I'm fine with that too.
When you think of one ride, you think, okay, I could probably knock this out in a day. But some of the vlogs that I watched and some of the articles I read is like, oh, we have to come back because we didn't get to everything. So the fact that that's still an element where you have to come back and be able to do everything in the park, that's saying a lot when you just have one singular ride there.
Because the ride?
Ride.
The ride, right? It's great, but at the same time, people have talked about the re-rideability factor of it, like why it's re-rideable, which I want to get into.
Yeah, we'll get to it later on.
So let's start off like...
Well, let's take everybody through the park. You get there, you look at the entrance. I got a pro tip for everybody.
Okay, what's your pro tip?
So the pro tip is when you get to the park, you see the Super Mario World entrance, you see the sign, and then you see the warp pipes. What you should do when you first get there is take a picture with your family with the warp pipes and the main entrance sign, because when you exit the park, you're exiting out the back. So you're not going to have another opportunity for you and your family, your kids, to take a picture in front of that entrance sign with the warp pipes. So that's number one. When you go through the warp pipe, which we talked about, you're embracing the video game. You're feeling as if you're going into the video game. First thing you do, Paul, you got to get a power band.
Ryan's talking about the power-up band. So very similar to kind of the look and feel of like a Magic Band. At Magic Kingdom or any, you know, of the Disney parks, but it's very different. So the band will actually cost you about $40. You can buy the band outside of the land. You can buy it in City Walk in Hollywood, or you can buy it inside the land too. So it all depends on what you want to do. A lot of people are talking about, you know, buy it before you get into the land. So when you get in there, you can automatically start your game, your interactive activities, You can have it downloaded into your app or connected to your app. But it's a power-up band. You can choose...
There's six options.
There's six options for you. They're all based on characters from the video games. So you have Mario, Luigi, Yoshi, Toad, Peach, and Daisy, right?
Yeah.
So they're your six.
They're Snap-on bracelets. Like
they are. They're really... like old-school 90s Snap-on bracelets.
They don't look like they work very well, though. I will say that. But they're very large, too. Like, the power bands are a lot bigger than what I thought. And like Paul said, probably the move is to get the power-up band before you get to the park.
Just so you don't have to worry about it.
But if you don't do that, they do have a one-up. It's like a merchandise shop where you can go buy the one-up, the power-up band. Or they have what I thought was cool was these cool kiosks set up around the park where you can buy your power-up band almost like an ATM.
Yeah, it's like a little
machine. Or like a vending machine. And you buy the power-up band, select what band you want. It comes out just like you're getting a candy bar from a vending machine. So those are one... I guess those are three ways where you can get the power-up band, but that is your number one priority once you walk into this park is to get that band and link it to the app, the Universal app, so they can get the points, Paul, and the coins, which we're going to talk about right now.
Yeah, that's what makes the whole land so much different than the other theme park lands we've been talking about and why it really is a game changer to the theme park industry because it's just so interactive. Like, it is a real-world video game. And the power-up band, it is an upcharge. So like I said, it is $40. It is not required, but it does allow you to do so much more in the land. And I think to really experience it to its potential, you do have to buy it. So I can see it getting a little bit pricey for families, but it's a one-time buy. You can bring it back. It's super easy to connect. If you open the band on the back, there's like a QR code. You go to the Universal app. There's a whole section just to Super Nintendo World. You scan it. You link it real quick. You could set up your account, your username, and then whatever team, whatever icon you pick is like your team. So if you're a Mario band, you're like Team Mario, Luigi, Team Luigi, etc.
Ryan has a pro tip.
What's your pro tip?
It's time for Ryan's pro tip. Well, time to one up. Pro tip, power bands, Paul. Talked about it. You pretty much gave a good layout of what they are, how to get them. They are actually accessible with your Nintendo Switch at home. So after you go to the park, you have your power-up band. Take that home. You can link it to your Nintendo Switch. I believe it's compatible with Mario Kart 8. It's also compatible with Mario Party. And I think you can unlock some cool different wardrobes for certain games. So check that out. That's Ryan's pro tip of the day.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
So the main point of the band, right? Like we talk about, we're going to talk about the restaurant a little bit. You have the merchandise shop. You have the ride. But when you walk in the land, there's a lot of different activities that you can do. And to participate in those activities, you really kind of need the power-up band. So when you're in, if you ever played Super Mario Brothers or any of those video games, right, there's the question blocks where you can punch them and gain coins. Yeah. So the idea is that the band is basically your ticket to your like gamification of everything and links to your account. So if you're using your power-up band, you're punching the question blocks, you're gaining coins, everything is then connecting to your account and then like just adding up for everything else you do. So it's kind of like you can punch the power blocks, get the coins, and then you could also participate in like little activities. And there's a game really where you collect, there's three games, it's one overarching game, but three little mini activities where you have to collect the keys.
Yeah, so you have to get three keys to get into Bowser's Challenge, Paul. And there's three mini games. So I'm not good at explaining these mini games. So this is where I throw the oop to you on how to explain these mini games.
So there's a lot of things around the land that you could use the band for. And one of them is these mini games and like basically trying to collect the keys. You have to earn three keys to then play Bowser Jr.'s Challenge, which is your main goal. And yes. Then every time you collect these keys, once you play him, you can try to replay him in the future, but then you have to actually play each key game again. And there's three key games. One is a crank game with a Goomba. You actually have to like crank a machine. The Goomba's walking and you have to try to kick him off the machine. If you beat him, you get a key.
Yeah, it's like he's running on a treadmill and you got to crank as fast as you can and make him fall off. Now, let's give the people let's be upfront with the people because we're not liars on this program.
No.
Games aren't that hard.
Yes.
These games are pretty damn easy.
The main idea is that, right, it's meant for people of all ages, and you want people to enjoy their time at the land. So that's the first one. It's like a crank the Goomba. The second one is with the piranha plant. So we're talking about kinetic energy and one of the coolest things in the land. Like, I love seeing the piranha plants.
Yeah, it looks scary almost. It looks like it might eat me.
It just looks amazing. Like, I just don't, it's one of the coolest animatronics in the land. I think there's a few of them. There's the one for in the game to win the key. And this one, I forget what exactly it's called, but the idea is that the piranha plant is sleeping and there's a bunch of alarm clocks. Yes. A lot of people talk about that you should be, if you have a partner or you have somebody that you're there with, try to play together. It's a lot.
No.
But it's harder That's to cheating. Play. It's harder to play by yourself. That's all I'm saying. And
not for me.
The idea is that the alarm clocks are going off and you have to press snooze on them to keep the piranha plant.
You're good at that.
I'm good. I always press the snooze
button.
Paul's
always late around here.
I always press the snooze button. So if you can do that and you can press them all and a good time and the plant stays asleep, you earn the key.
Now, I guess you have to wait in line to try these out, obviously.
Yes. And every time you play it, if you want to play it again, you just have to get back in line. And once you beat the game, for every time forward on the same day, it is activated hard mode. So you start on easy mode for all the games, and if you try to play the game again on the same day, it's on hard mode.
And I also think that once you get up there, the workers, I guess you could say, they allow you to get like 3 chances. And then if you don't get on the third chance, if you get 3 chances and can't figure this out, kids, it's time to reevaluate your life. But you do get 3 tries, and if you don't, you gotta go back in line and get back in line.
They are really fun. They look like a good time, and you know, we keep talking about they're supposed to be easy. So there's two, and then the third one. That's
the match one.
Yeah, the third one's inside. So there's a little cool like a thwomp cave. So if you know what a thwomp is, you kind of go inside the cave, and then there's this match game. So the idea is that you have a digital wall, touchscreen wall, and it has a bunch of squares. There's blue ones and yellow ones. People talk about this. It's a lot easier if you play with a partner or a friend. Ryan's tip, don't do that. Try to win on your own.
Win on your own. Pro tip of the day.
So there's blue and yellow squares. As long as you change, the goal is that you're supposed to match and make the wall one color. So if you can change all the squares to blue or you change all the squares to yellow, you will win. And that's the third way to win your key.
So it's blue and yellow, right?
Correct.
Because I'm a little colorblind. So if they did like blue, purple.
Then that'd be a little hard for you.
Brown, red, a little tough. So maybe I'm out here talking trash on the kids.
Well, I'll help you.
That's why
something you need a
partner. Where I might need a partner with the colors. So you know what? I take back my pro tip of the day.
So there are your 3 mini games. Another pro tip by Paul. Got you here.
There's have the buzzer. You can't do pro tip.
I actually got Ryan that. Here, throw it.
Pro tip. Paul's pro tip of the day.
Yeah, should I keep this or throw it back?
Well, until I got another pro tip.
Okay. You can earn another key more with interactive elements. We can talk about this real quick.
This is a good pro tip. A
really cool thing. So if you go to the second level of the land, that's what's cool too with kinetic energy. There's so much different levels and layers to the land. You can go upstairs and kind of get like a bird's eye view of the land. There are these binoculars and they're AR binoculars. So you can look into them and AR, there's augmented reality. And then when you look around the land, you have like characters from the video games. You can look up into the sky and there's clouds, or there's maybe Bowser's ship raining down, or maybe there's like little hidden things in the land that can earn you extra coins that will connect to your account and put you higher in the leaderboard, or they'll collect stickers that'll go into your account too that can help you collect coins. Like the AR binoculars, I think, are really cool because it just adds a lot of cool things to the land and another like extra feature that I haven't seen anywhere else.
So did you tell them how they can get the key? This pro tip sucks.
Well, you have to find, so the AR binoculars, right? Like there's things that are always happening at different times of days or different times of day. There's always things happening. So you basically have to find the key in the around the land while you're looking.
So you got the 3 mini games where you can get a key from each, or you can get the AR binoculars up top and get a key that way. You do not have to get a key from each mini game. So say the match game, you wanted to play that 3 times. You get 3 keys from there. You can then go over to Bowser Jr.'s challenge and play with those 3 keys. You don't have to win every mini game, even though little easy to win those. So you might as well do all of them.
And then you get to you get to play everything.
Yeah, that's true.
But there's those games, and then the idea is that you play the mini games to play the larger game, which is Bowser Jr.'s challenge, which is basically just huge screen. You're playing a bunch of interactive things. It kind of puts your body into the playing ground, and you're like waving your arms around. It's super interactive.
Yeah, it's like Wii without the Wii remote. Or like, what was that, the Xbox Kinect, where you could stand in front of it and do that. And so that's what it is, things. And you're moving things. All right, so that's Bowser Jr.'s challenge and how you gather those keys. At the same time, you're still walking around the park, still trying to collect coins. I know there's hidden Mario emblems around the park. Yeah.
So there's 8-bit characters from the original video game. If you go and look around the land, the idea is that when you use your magic band, usually you will connect it to something that has like the Mario logo on it. So it's a big M with a circle. And they're kind of hidden in the facade of the land. And if you find them, you can push your power band up to the emblem. And then it will secretly reveal an 8-bit character from the original game. So there's Mario, Luigi, Peach, and Bowser, I believe, are the four. If you do unlock them, it'll show up in your app. Yeah. And usually each one has a certain set of coins to it. So the main goal here is you should be collecting coins throughout your day. There's a bunch of different ways to do it. You can find the emblems. You can punch the power-up blocks. You can play the key games. And then also you can earn coins through the main attraction at the land, Mario Kart Bowser's Challenge. And everything is stored on your app, and everything you should be playing to increase your ranking on the leaderboard. So when you go in the land too, what's really cool is there's a bunch of like digital leaderboards. You can have it on your app, or you can also check these leaderboards. They're updated, I believe, every hour. And it's just kind of cool to see how you are doing compared to everyone in the park that day.
Yes. Speaking of attractions, let's get to the lone and only ride in the park.
Main attraction, baby.
Mario Kart Bowser's Challenge. What I liked a lot about this, because a lot of people, when they think of Mario Kart ride, let's just go right to the ride. Yeah. Let's see how that is. But I think it's really important to embrace the walkthrough of getting on the ride queue. Like
yeah, the ride,
whole ride queue.
The queue, yeah.
You start off going through Yoshi's Island. There's a really cool Bowser statue there. It's giant. It's really cool. And then there's a lot of cool Easter eggs in there. I know there's all the characters' suits they have there. So you'll see like Luigi's helmet in Mario Kart and his like racing suit, Peach's helmet and her racing suit. And then there's just a bunch of cool Easter eggs. There's like a factory there where they show you how they make the Mario Kart bombs. And it's a cool little addition to the ride queue. So really embrace that ride queue while you're going in there. They have trophies, Paul, that you liked. Yeah.
All the trophies from the different circuits that you can win in the video games. And then this idea is that the race that you will be racing in when you're on the attraction is you will be playing for the Universal Cup. That you can only get at Universal. So you're Team Mario, you're with all the Mario's friends, and you're playing against Bowser. You're playing against Team Bowser, Bowser Jr., all his minions. Your main goal is to win. The ride is a slow-moving ride. You're on a track, but it's really immersive, and the best thing about it is the AR elements.
Yeah, so they hand out to every rider a visor.
You get
and on the visor is an AR like screen.
You get a Mario visor, and then when you get in the cart, I think four people per vehicle. Each person gets their own steering wheel with buttons on the top. There's two buttons, and then they'll give you the glasses basically. And then you take the glasses, and you'll attach it magnetically to your visor, and then you'll see things that are happening on your glass that you can control and make your game unique to everybody else in your cart.
Yeah, because that was my speculation to the ride. Because like I know how these rides kind of go. It's like, oh, it has these cool dynamics, but how much are you actually controlling in the ride? Like,
yeah.
Are you actually sitting there controlling your cart? But the way you explained to me pre-show is that each person, individual person has like their, I wouldn't say weapons. What do they call in you the thing?
Yeah, like
they each have their own style of
their own items and stuff, right?
Items,
so
yeah.
You're on a track, right? And things are AR, so there's things added on top, right? So like your characters, your item blocks, if you've ever played the games, your weapons that you're shooting at other opponents and players. But then there is a physical set around you that's happening. It's most of what you're going through is really, really cool. But what's happening is you're going through this track, and then you're seeing everything in your glasses. You can move around. If you collect an item block in the game, for example, you get an item block, you maybe have a red shell or an item that you can throw at an opponent.
Banana peel.
Yeah, banana peel, whatever it is, right? When you're moving around in your head, you'll be able to see opponents or enemies or things. And if you want to use it, you have to use your head to aim. So you'll just turn, you'll look at it, and then the buttons on your specific steering wheel you can use to shoot the weapon at said opponent.
That's something else I didn't know. I didn't know that there was actual buttons on the ride.
And that's kind of how you control your game to everyone else. And different things that you see on the attraction, different enemies that you hit, different items that you collect, they're all attached to your magic band, or I'm getting confused here. Your it's not Disney. We're talking about Universal. World? Your power-up band. And so when you go onto the ride, make sure to, I believe, before and after, just tap your power-up band to your steering wheel, and that'll connect everything that happens in your game to your app.
Yeah, so you can check out the ride on YouTube, but I hear a lot of vloggers, they say, like, YouTube or even the videos that they get from the ride, it doesn't do the ride justice.
And that was a big complaint when people were looking at when the ride first premiered in Japan. It was like this, you know, we think of Mario Kart as this, like, it should be something similar to Test Track at Epcot, where it's like you're in a vehicle, you're going really fast, you know, you're on a rainbow road, etc. And people were seeing this and they're like, it's so slow. It looks just so slow. And the ride POVs just don't do the ride justice. And I've been told that many, many times through all the vloggers. And it's like, you really just have to experience it and see what the AR does. And I think the AR for attractions is just such a game changer. And I think will develop so much more in the future.
Yeah. All right. So you go on the ride. You're a little hungry.
Okay.
Where are you going to go, Paul? You're going to go to Toadstool Cafe. That's where you're going to go.
Yeah. That's the one dining option in the land. It's their main hub for eating. It's a sit-down restaurant. You go up to the counter, you'll order, and then you'll sit down. They'll give you, you know, a number, and then a cast member will come over and hand you your food when it's ready.
Cute little spot.
Yeah,
not only is it a cute little spot, it's got a cute little menu, Paul. And we're going to go through some of the names that they have because they deserve to get some camera time because they're cute, creative names. So the menu's really creative, like I said, named after characters. So you'll have, like, the Yoshi's fruit and vegetable salad. You'll have Toadstool's garlic knots, which I will say their menu is a little weird, like in variety
There's a lot of mushroom infused items, which makes sense. You're in the Mushroom Kingdom.
It does seem like a very healthy menu.
Yeah, so
I mean, I don't know if this is a place that I would like.
Yeah, for a theme park, it's nice to have some diversity, for sure.
But they do have Mario burgers and Luigi burgers. Pro tip. Let's go. I need it, Paul. Pro tip. Pro tip of the day. If you order a Mario burger on the kids menu, Paul, you will receive a cool little action Mario figure on top of your burger. So maybe, you know what? You're not that hungry. I would pro tip you to get the kids burger so they can get the little mini action figure Mario on your burger.
But if you get the Luigi burger or the Mario burger, like the adult ones, they actually have, they're stamped in mustaches.
Nope.
There's a mustache stamped in on the burger bun, and then each burger comes with a little hat. Comes with the Mario hat or the Luigi hat.
Nope. That's not a pro tip.
You can actually get spaghetti and meatballs at a theme park, which I think is interesting on the menu.
Thanks.
The Luigi burger is actually, it's like a chicken burger. It's like a chicken
it's not
Alfredo
really,
burger. So it's a little different too. Obviously, Ryan said a little healthier for you. There's a bunch. There's the coins cookies. There's like sugar cookies. I've heard they're pretty good as well. And the
Princess Peach Cupcake.
Yeah, that's the main dessert people have been talking about, the Princess Peach Cupcake. It's this very bright pink cupcake, a lot of frosting, but people say it's pretty good.
I feel like this place might go for design over flavor and quality. That's from an outsider perspective.
You gotta try
it. I can't say that until I get there and try it. But from an outsider perspective, I feel like they're going for more creativity than flavor, but they could prove me wrong. Also, a cool feature. Like, as Paul said, you're actually going into, like, Toad's house to eat. And while you're going in there to eat, there's a cool, like, visual screen of Chef Toad. And he's, like, sitting there talking to you, pretending to make your meal. So that's a cool added feature. Paul likes the Bowser attack that happens on Toad's house. I don't like that so much.
So about every 30 minutes or so, Bowser, you see him, his crew, and his ship will come in to the restaurant and basically attack the restaurant. A lot of people compared it to, you know how I have like Rainforest Cafe?
Yes.
Every 30 minutes there's like a rainstorm.
I do kind of like that.
Same idea.
But the Bowser attack is very anticlimactic.
Well, you see
like, it's
all
just
the
a
toads
screen.
Run around.
Like, it's not Yeah. Like, let's get an earthquake or something. Like, let's actually make the restaurant shake.
I feel like if you added some light effects, you could probably make it a little bit
better.
They
got all the Connecticut energy going on there. Just add it into the... Maybe get, like, a tunnel and get Bowser, like, fake come, half come out. That's your pro tip of the day, Universal. But that's pretty much it on Toadstool's Cafe.
Yeah, Toadstool Cafe. I do want to talk about character meet and greets real quick.
Yes, so crazy.
There are three characters you can currently meet in the land. There's Mario, Luigi, and Princess Peach. Mario and Luigi currently meet together, and then Princess Peach kind of meets by her castle alone. The characters are super well designed. Like, if you ever look at mascots or anything, like, and they look incredible. They're very, very well done. They all can actually speak, so their mouths move.
That's what stood out to me. Which is like, these characters freaking talk.
And their eyelids move as well. So it just adds this whole nother element.
Their what?
Their eyelids move.
Oh.
So instead of like Mickey Mouse or like you look at other costume characters where like their eyes are just stagnant or like a you know, a normal mascot, when you're talking to Mario or Luigi, their eyes are blinking.
I know, I think we talked about this on a previous episode, but their voices are like activated through something. Like, it's not like an actual human talking.
No.
It's like an activated voice system.
Yeah. So,
and it's not like generic. No. I'm pretty sure it's like custom. Like, the person's actually talking, but it's getting filtered through a different, like, voice.
There's a few different ways to do that. There was Mickey on Main Street, Magic Mickey, who, like, that was somebody physically behind, you know, a curtain that was, like, kind of talking to you, and then the performer would perform. But you also have characters currently in Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, like Kylo Ren or the Stormtroopers, that have specific things that or phrases that they can say that are usually activated by, I mean...
Oh, here we go. Pro tip. Pro tip is dead. Did it break? Did it break? Did it break? It's still alive! I hope the camera got that. It's still alive, baby. Pro tip, that thing never breaks.
All right. Pro tip for you. Alive. So these costume characters, if they ever have these phrases or talk to you, a lot of the times they're activated by arm movements or hand movements. Even with the blinking, sometimes like closing or waving, that'll actually change. That's what's going to happen, those that blinking. So just something pretty cool. But definitely check out those characters.
I don't know if that pro tip was worth the damage it took.
Another pro
still
tip,
alive, baby.
Another pro tip for you. Whoa. Yeah, whoa. For me, I've heard meeting Mario and Luigi, basically because they're so sought after and people really, you know, they see them and they automatically want to do the meet and greet. You'll see a timestamp of when they come out and do their meet and greet. People basically say if you're not in line by the time the meet and greet starts, you basically won't be able to meet them. So if it's at 2:30, make sure you're in the line by 2:30, that when they come out at 2:30, a cast member will basically cut off the line immediately because they're not out that long. So pro tip, if you do want to meet the characters, there's not Toad yet.
Why aren't they out that long?
They're out that long, but like the line's already super long.
They got games to play.
Yeah.
They got to go to Bowser's Castle.
But Toad is actually not in the land. You can't meet Toad.
Toad's got a concussion.
In Hollywood. You can meet Toad in Universal Studios Japan. So hopefully Hollywood will get Toad. And in Florida's version, they'll hopefully get Toad. I'm hoping for like a Bowser eventually. I think that'll be massive and
like
so
character?
Cool. Yeah, meet and greet character.
I don't want to meet him.
I do. I want to meet him.
But yeah, so we touched on the AR binoculars, but I will like to add... I was gonna say pro tip, but it's not a pro tip. It's on the second level. Like, there's levels to the part. That's not a pro tip.
Okay.
It's not a pro tip. I guess not a pro tip. It's on the second level though. So if you're looking like, oh, where the AR binoculars, you got to go up, and to go find those. So I would like to see them because, as Paul said, you can go on the AR binoculars, look around the park, and it has a live feed, but it has added elements. I did hear that they add a lot of cool different elements into that live feed, but I would like them to make sure that they keep it up to date, like keep things interchangeable, keep things fresh, and not keep things so bland.
I think that'll be a big challenge for the land.
Probably.
People have talked about the sunlight in California. The land is super bright and colorful. Make sure it doesn't get faded by the sun, that all of the kinetic energy elements are constantly working, because if they're just stagnant, it kind of looks broken or looks weird. So there's going to be a lot of maintenance in the land. I think it'll be very difficult to maintain, but it's such a step up for theme park lands People have been raving about it and talking about how amazing it is to have something like this in the States. So I'm very excited for the one coming in a few years to Epic Universe down in Orlando, the largest land out of the three Super Nintendo worlds, where they're going to be adding a Donkey Kong themed section with the Donkey Kong roller coaster, which I'm excited to see.
Oh,
but we'll get there. You know, we'll get there. And right now it's really cool that you have the Super Mario Bros. Movie from Illumination Entertainment, which is a Universal brand, basically coming out in theaters very, very soon in the middle of March. So the timing on this is great, right?
Yep.
Super synergy.
Yeah, the movie's coming out. What you said?
You have Super Mario Bros. Movie coming out mid-March.
Good timing. We talked about it a lot on this episode. Super Nintendo World is really changing the way theme parks are going to be continued to be built, whether it's the gamification of the land, whether it's the AR implementation of the monoculars, whether it's the kinetic energy of characters moving around the park. I mean, it's truly morphing the theme park world towards those interactive lands rather than like roller coasters.
It's the elements inside the land other than previously about just the main attraction.
Right.
Right. Like Hogwarts Castle and Hogsmeade was great. People loved being in Harry Potter in general, but I think, and the wands, right? I think, and it, they're both from Universal. I think Universal's been doing it right. And I think, Harry Potter, you can get an interactive wand and you could go to different spots and use a spell and make things happen in the land. And this is just the next step of that with the AR, but with the binoculars and even in the main attraction. I would love to see where VR and AR advance the theme park industry moving forward.
All right, before we get out of here, I got to ask you this question.
Which question?
They got one ride, right? We talked about how Japan has the Yoshi ride, which is not even really a ride. I think it's like a ride around the park.
I mean, it's a ride, yeah. Okay,
sure. Is there going to be problem with wait times? It's like, oh, there's one ride here. I know they had a soft opening, so we really don't have anything to gauge the wait lines or how crowded it gets or overpopulated. Do you think that's something this park's going to have to figure out?
I think the queue was made for a large intake of people. Like that queue was very detailed,
yes.
But it's a very large queue that can hold a lot of people in the land. I think when it first opens to the public and it's grand opening, I think you'll need a reservation just to get inside the land. And then I think they'll be able to put a lot of people in the land because a lot of people will be swallowed up by that ride queue.
You got one ride. You got one place to eat. I mean, I don't know if they have other,
you have a lot
like,
of games going on. They just added like a drink stand. So, you know, because before that, with the soft opening, you'd only get a drink if you had to go in the restaurant.
Right.
So
it's a work in progress.
It's a work in progress. I think it's about to open in 2 days. It'll already be open by the time this episode's out. If you haven't checked out videos, photos already, definitely go check that out from Universal Studios Hollywood. We got to get out to Hollywood.
We do. Appreciate you watching. As always, like, subscribe to the channel.
Let us know if you like this type of content. You want to talk about more theme park lands. More things coming to all the theme parks in the States, maybe out of the States in the future. But that's been it, baby. As always,
music. Take us out.
Peace.
Later. Pro tip of the day.